July is winding down, and speaking of July winding down, only three more days, and that brings us to August. August brings in school year, and we have school professionals in with us this morning to talk about some things that's coming with the new school year. We want to welcome Teresa Thompson, a Cherokee County school nurse, and also Brett Kiesler, the principal at the Career and Tech Center. Guys, thanks for coming in and being with us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And we're going to start with Teresa to talk about some activities or things that's going on with the health part of the getting ready for go back to school. What should parents be thinking about right now, Teresa, health-wise for their children and getting them prepared for school?
That's a good question. The main thing they need to be thinking about right now is getting their immunizations up to date, their students' immunizations. That's one of the biggest issues we have on the first day of school. If that blue form for the immunizations is not up to date on the first day of school, we have to make calls to a parent or guardian to come pick that student up, to take them to the health department or their physician to get the immunization for them to be able to enroll in school. That's the main issue that parents could be taking care of now.
Do all students have to have immunizations?
Well, all students have to have updated immunizations, but that doesn't mean that all students this year are due an immunization. All sixth grade students, incoming sixth grade students, need to have a tetanus booster, which school nurses at each school would have sent home a form, and those parents or guardians are aware of that. But they are due a tetanus booster for any student going into sixth grade.
How about pre-K students, first grade, second grade, any of those, any special immunizations required, or will that be accompanied with a blue form at registration?
Kindergarten registration, they only register if they have an updated blue form at that time. So kindergartners, of course, need that initial updated blue form before they can enroll in kindergarten.
Why is it important that we have these children updated with their immunizations?
It's so important to, first of all, it's a state law. We have to have that. But it protects all children in our school system, and it's important that the school nurses that we stay on top of that to make sure that everyone is up to date.
That's for communicable diseases, and of course, that's to minimize any outbreak of anything.
Absolutely.
And school safety. It's for the safety of your children.
Absolutely.
And that's what it's for.
And I do also, while we're on immunizations, want to mention there are exceptions to this for the parents out there listening. I know there's medical reasons, and they can get a medical exemption form from their physician that the student would still be able to enroll with that medical exemption form or a religious exemption form.
Okay. Children often have to have medications throughout the day, and that's quite common. Nothing wrong with that. Let's talk about the guidelines that parents need to be aware of if their child needs medication administered throughout the day. What's the guidelines? Let's go over that.
Okay, that's good. We deal with that daily, and nothing has changed for this school year. It's the same as it's been for several years, and it's in the handbook that the parents get at the beginning of the school year that they'll sign. But the guidelines are in that handbook. Should they have questions later on in the year, they can refer back to that or always call the school nurse at the school. But a couple of things that I want to mention is that if we get a student that comes into the health room and we call a parent and they say, well, if you know, can you just give them some Tylenol or ibuprofen? We can't do that. We can't stock medications. So a parent has to bring that medication to us before we can give it.
If the child occasionally subject to headaches or something, or and the parent administers Tylenol at home, if they think that child is going to need Tylenol, so you're telling me they need to bring that Tylenol, have it on at school for that child with that child's name on it. Am I correct? Hearing you right?
That is correct. The parent needs to bring that into the school nurse. There should never be a time that a student has medication on them, either prescription medication or over-the-counter medication. they bring that medication to the school nurse, the parent does or the guardian does. We complete some paperwork, and then we can keep that medication in the school nurse's office for the rest of the year, and if their student needs it during that school year, then we can give that medication at that time.
Let's talk just a minute about that. My child, say 12 years old, and takes medication daily, knows how to take their medicine. What's wrong with them having their medication with them in their prescription bottle, if it's prescribed, and them having it where they can take it themselves? I know that's against the guidelines, but let's explain why.
Okay, well, there are a couple of reasons why. Of course, the main concern is that we do not want other students asking for some medication. You know, if they have Tylenol in their pocket, you know, hey, I've got a headache, you know, will you give me some Tylenol, ibuprofen, and numerous other medications. But students are allergic to even Tylenol, ibuprofen, overdoses. You know, where a student weighing 40 pounds may just need one of those tablets. A high school student weighing more could take a couple of those tablets. So it's just best that go through the school office, and that is our policy, that students are not allowed to have any, you know, prescription or over the counter. Now, there are a couple of emergency medications, and that's just on an individual basis where a physician may write for that student to keep medication on themselves, such as an EpiPen. That's one example.
And that goes back again to school safety, to the safety of the general population of the students, because children may not be thinking if they wanted to share a Tylenol or something, and another child, as you said, might be allergic to it. So it just keeps everything under the adult supervision for medications the way it should be.
Exactly. And we are very fortunate. We have a school nurse at every school here in our county. So there's a school nurse that's available every day during the school hours to help with that medication.
Okay. Anything else that's coming up that we need to know about with their medications and their immunizations? And we're talking about the medicines and all. We need to talk about, there's a time that children should stay home. And we want them in school every day when they're healthy. But tell us when parents should keep those children out of school.
Okay. First of all, our goal as school nurses is to keep students in school if at all possible. We want them in school. But students have to be healthy in order to sit in a classroom and learn. But if a student has a temperature that's over 100, or if they've been vomiting, we ask parents or guardians to keep those students at home for at least 24 hours. That not only helps their student to see if maybe they just have a stomach bug or if they're okay, but it prevents outbreaks at school, the stomach viruses, that sort of thing. It's for the safety of all students. So we ask parents and guardians, if your student has a temperature over 100 or if they've been vomiting, please keep them home for at least 24 hours after that temperature breaks.
What about diarrhea? Does that go with the vomiting? Now, sometimes students get up, might have diarrhea, not have vomiting.
Good question. If they have fever with the diarrhea, or if they have vomiting with the diarrhea, then we ask what I just said, keep them home for 24 hours. With the diarrhea, first day of school, we're going to have some nervous stomachs. They may get up with a little diarrhea. You know, parents use their own judgment, and then once they get to school, the school nurse will take it from there. But we're careful with saying with the diarrhea for 24 hours because of the nervous stomach. It may have been something they ate.
Good. But on a general day, now, it's not uncommon for students to get up sometimes and just say, my stomach hurt and I don't feel well. Maybe they don't want to take a test or something at school.
Exactly. We ask the parent to go ahead, of course, use their judgment. They're the parent. They know their student best. But bring them to school. Let the school nurse know that their student's not feeling well. We will keep a check on them. We will ask the teacher to keep a check on them. The teachers know these students well. The teachers do a great job in letting us know. They see them more than we do, so sometimes the teachers will let us know they're just not feeling well, they're not acting right today, and so we use the teacher's judgment a lot on that too. But if the parents just aren't sure they should feel comfortable talking to the school nurse, and we'll keep a check on them. And if we feel they need to go home, we will call that parent.
Okay. Is riding the bus sometimes, or a car, either one, for some students can be particularly troublesome from time to time because of motion sickness. Do you have that often at school when children arrive at school in the morning? Maybe they don't feel well for a couple hours or so? Or has that ever been a major problem? Or is that just isolated?
That's usually isolated. If we do run into that, that may be a new student that's just started riding a bus, or a kindergartner that's maybe not used to riding the bus. But we don't see that a whole lot.
Well, that's good. That's good. I just know it can be occasion. Anything else we need to cover as far as the health and well-being of the students and medications and immunizations?
I would just like to tell the parents and the guardians out there that to use their school nurses, to call them if they have questions, medical questions, if they have any new information on their student throughout the school year, if there's a new diagnosis, anything that we need to know to help take care of their student at school, they need to keep us informed so we can be on the lookout at school and help that parent with the continuity of care between home and school, because we do have those nurses there that are able to do things that a nurse does in the hospital. We do a lot of things that nurses do in the hospital, and we do that in the school setting.
Going back to the meds, with the prescriptions, I'm assuming that there are there's medications that's being kept at school for the students. How should the parents handle when a prescription is changed?
Okay, when a prescription is changed, the parent would notify us. They would bring us in the paperwork from the physician. To give medication that's prescribed, we have to have what's called a physician's authorization form.
Sure.
So, and we can fax that to the physician to keep the parent from making an extra trip, but we have to have an order from the physician to be able to give that prescription medication at school, just as a nurse in a hospital would.
All right. Anything else that we need to go over this morning, Teresa? We don't want to leave anything out when it comes to medication, because this is an area that's so important, and the parents out there and the students need to be well-versed on it. And again, all this information we're going over is going to be in the handbook, right?
Yes, that's correct. I just would like to remind our parents out there that are listening, and they know who they are, if they have a student that has an emergency medical need, such as our seizure students, diabetic students, and there's others, we ask that they contact their school nurse prior to school starting, because there's lots of paperwork that we have to have done on that student before day one of school. But those parents are aware of who they are, but that I would just like to do that reminder at this time.
Any particular time of day better, since school's not open, if they're going to do it prior to school, and to contact these school nurses?
Most parents already have appointments set up with the school nurses, but what they can do is call the school and leave a message if they don't get the school nurse at the number. Just leave a message for the school nurse to return their call.
Okay, and then it'll all be handled.
Yes.
Thank you so very much for coming in and being with us this morning. I know we had to get up early to get here and get all this information out, but we appreciate you taking your time to come in and be with us.
Well, thank you for having us.
All right. It's our pleasure. That's Teresa Thompson, Cherokee County school nurse. We have Mr. Brett Kiesler coming up right after the break. We'll be back with Mr. Kiesler and information from a Career and Tech Center right after this. Back in the studios with our guests this morning, and we're honored to have with us from the school system, Teresa Thompson, school nurse. We just heard from her. And Mr. Brett Kiesler, principal at the Career and Tech Center. And Mr. Kiesler, thank you for taking time to come in and be with us.
Thank you, Jerry. We appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Our pleasure to have you. Let's talk about some things that's going on at the Career and Tech Center for the new school year. I know you want to talk about the enrollment and some other things. So turn the mic over to you, Brett.
All right, Jerry. Last year, we averaged 750 students per semester at the Career Tech Center. Looking at the numbers this week, counselors are putting in their SKU schedules at this time, looks like we're going to have around 700 for the first semester, but we expect those numbers to rise within the first couple of weeks whenever school begins and everybody gets their schedule straightened out. So looks like the numbers will be about the same as they were last year, and we're very excited to have all the students returning.
Okay, what could make those fluctuate from 50 students? Just everybody's not hadn't got all their schedules squared away, especially the new incoming students that are in the freshman year.
Yes, sir. We had seniors graduating. We'll have sophomores coming to us this year. Some have not finalized their schedules, but once that's complete, we expect to see our numbers to rise again a little bit.
Well, that's exciting.
Yes, sir.
That lets you know how many students throughout the system that you impact.
It is. It's very exciting. And when you look at the data on what taking career tech courses, how it impacts the graduation rate, it is a positive impact. It rises 13% higher for students taking career tech courses than for students who do not.
Does that mean that students that are taking career and tech courses get more involved with the hands-on than they do and throughout the school year with the textbooks?
Yes, sir. It provides relevance. In other words, hands-on experience, it brings learning to life for them. They connect the why and the how together.
So what they learn in those textbooks, they're able to put it in action. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay. And that always means, I guess, more excitement for the children or for the students. I'd rather get out there in the shop and weld and learn about welding that way than to try to read how to lay a bead or why it should be this way. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, sir. That. And also, we give them... they have the opportunity to apply a lot of their mathematics that they're learning in science principles and physics principles in their homeschool classes. They get to come to career tech classes and actually apply that what they've been learning in the classroom.
If they take building out there or carpentry, they could real easily get into some geometry quickly.
Yes, sir, very quickly.
And so they can really learn a lot in there. Let's talk about your class offerings this year. We talked about the students and how many we're going to be impacting. Are you going to offer anything new that we haven't had in the past?
Well, this will be the first year that the electronics program will be offered for the entire year. It started with the second semester last year. And the electronics program, it provides students an opportunity to train for a wide variety of job opportunities in the market today. Basic electrical knowledge, automated manufacturing, repairing the robotic equipment and PLCs used in automotive and automated manufacturing.
Wow, that is a broad spectrum, because when you say electronics, that encompasses the electrical, as you said, as well as the robotic equipment. Man, yeah, that's a big field. And so your students can, when they have that training, they could be prepared for immediate job entry.
Yes, sir. Other things that we have going on in our business department, we're also able to offer students a credential in Microsoft Office, which allows them, whenever they earn this credential, to carry it to an employer. And if an employee is looking for a student who is proficient in Microsoft Word and Excel, they can look at their credentials and, you know, see that the student has completed the work and should be proficient in that program.
And, of course, again, that just prepares the students so very well. I know that in recent years we've heard from many students and have been able to talk with them about their experience coming through the Career and Tech Center and what it has meant to them and going into the job force.
Yes, sir. Other areas that we're offering is our health science program. This prepares students for a variety of jobs in the health field, from being a certified nursing assistant. It can help train them to go into those programs to be a doctor, a pharmacist, or a veterinarian. So the health and science field, it prepares students also to pursue their education in other health-related fields. We also offer cosmetology, automotive service technology, collision repair, building and construction, welding, and we have cooperative education.
And all this that you've talked about and you've mentioned gives the students an opportunity to go into the workforce once they receive this training right out of high school at a livable wage.
Yes, sir. We do provide them with training that help them go in at an entry-level position and at a livable wage. And it also helps them to maybe discover some other interests they didn't realize they have and something they may want to pursue more education.
And your students, when they complete their training there, if they go completely through a program there, whether it be in the health field, and they come out and get ready to go take their nursing license exam or whatever, and they're prepared to enter the job field, they will be making above minimum wage, no doubt, in most cases.
Yes, sir, in most cases they will. Now, we do not offer them the opportunity to take a nursing's license test once they leave, but we prepare them to go on further in that course.
And once they come out and they pursue that field, they can do that. Cosmetology,
yes,
the same way, and things of that nature, where they have to be certified by state boards. But that gets them the good basics where they're prepared very well to go into those arenas, and it shortens the time. It, for example, if you're going to be a nurse, it would give them the basics to get started quickly, and it wouldn't take as long to get their nursing degree.
That's correct.
Your potential new career courses we've talked about. You folks have been making some improvements down there too, haven't you?
Yes, sir, we have. I want to say thank you to our 10-month employees. They spent the first 3 weeks of summer painting the exterior of the school. It was a lot of work, but it was a good experience, I believe, for everybody. It brought everybody together, and I'm just very proud of the hard work that they put in and really appreciate what all they did for us. You know, it'd been hard to do without them. We also want to say thank you to the Board of Education, the County Commission, our Superintendent, Mr. Geis, and to the taxpayers of Cherokee County, because without the 1 cent sales tax, a lot of the work that we were able to do, it wouldn't have been possible without that money that they provided. In addition to painting the exterior of the school, we have put on 3 new roofs on 3 different structures at the Career Tech Center. A couple was due to storm damage, and one was just, worn out over time, we needed to replace, and was able to do that because of the monies generated through the commission and the 1 cent sales tax. And we appreciate that opportunity to be able to do this.
So you've given it a fresh facelift, so to speak, and refurbished it, and the campus looks great down there.
Yes, sir.
Well, I know the students are going to, students relate to their environment, and with things looking better, they will be better encouraged and will be on better fast track to learn better.
Yes, sir.
And that's great. Well, I'm excited about being able to get down there and taking a tour, and hopefully that'll be before too long.
Yes, sir. We look forward to that also. Jerry, one other thing I'd like to mention is the bond issue that was passed this year in the legislature, $50 million for career tech education. Now, Cherokee County is due to receive a portion once they applied their formulas, divided it out. Cherokee County will receive $230,000 for the purchase of new equipment to update our programs. Now, the equipment, one, it has to be on the state-approved list,
sure,
for each program, and it's for programs that we already have in place. It's not for starting any new programs. This is just to update our existing programs and keep them viable and up to date with industry standards.
Well, let's talk, for example, about welding. If you're going to teach welding down there, or and you have the old arc welder versus the new type welders that they use in the industry today, because they don't use those arc welders anymore. Am I correct?
You're very correct. The industry has changed a lot in the last 20 years. When I left the industry, we were still using larger equipment. With the modernization, new electronics that's available, the equipment has changed a lot and is capable of doing a lot more. We now have multi-process machines, whereas in the past we had to have a arc welder and then a separate MIG welder and a separate TIG welder. Well, now you can purchase machines that's capable of doing all three processes.
So it depends on which one that is needed in the industry, and they have the capabilities of providing that. So in order for students to be familiar with that, you've got to have that equipment in-house.
That's correct.
And that applies to all of your programs there, because industry changes continuously.
Yes, sir. And, you know, in order to be able to provide the students with the training they need so that whenever they leave our program, they're familiar with the type of equipment that they'll be using in industry, we have to stay up to date.
And, of course, then that takes away the students' situation to where they leave school and they get out and say, well, we're not familiar with this. We didn't have this in class. But then they'll be prepared.
Yes, sir.
That's exciting when you can get more money from the state to update your programs.
Yes, sir. They will also have $20 million that will be up for competitive grant writing to start new and innovative programs. So we're looking at doing some survey work this fall with industry, with our students and our industry partners to see if there's other courses that, you know, we should apply for a grant for to start a new program up.
To expand.
Yes, sir.
That's exciting. You were telling me a little bit about that process. What type programs will industry be looking at?
Well, anything in automotive manufacturing, construction, dealing with energy, healthcare, and providing resources and services, which goes in line with our food industry. Some of the top rate jobs right now, where you have the fastest rate of growth, is in nursing and other healthcare fields in the area. Construction is number two. And construction, you know, that's very broad whenever you say construction.
Is.
And manufacturing, welders, carpenters, it's wide open. The technicians to keep the machines operating. So
it's a big field.
Yes, sir.
Out there. But, you mentioned construction. That could be operating heavy equipment, or it could be manufacturing trusses or something of that nature.
Yes, sir.
Putting them up.
That's correct.
You know, in buildings and all. Well, it sounds like you have some exciting new things coming, as well as upgrading, and it sounds like an exciting year for you at the Career and Tech Center.
Yes, sir. We're very excited to see what the future holds for us.
And when you are impacting 700 to 750 students per semester, that right there in itself says how viable the program is and how much we need it.
Yes, sir.
And a great part of our school facility program to enhance the abilities of the students when they get out of school and start their career or go on to college, because many of them that are in your program do go on to college.
Yes, sir, and that's something we're very proud of. Career Tech is not just for people who want to go directly to work after school. There's other programs you can go into if you want to further your education. A lot of guys, especially, say, well, I don't want to be locked into a job where I'm sitting in an office. Well, engineering is a great opportunity for a lot of people to go into, for women also, who want to be able to, yes, they want to use their minds to design and create, but they still want to be involved in some field work. Well, engineering provides the opportunity for people to still be involved in direct hands-on work at times and still be involved in design process and make a really good living.
Mr. Kiesler, when should students start considering whether or not they want to be in the Career and Tech program?
I think parents should have these conversations with their students when their students are in middle school. Something that we're looking to do is to start working with 8th grade students, doing a inventory assessment of their skills and abilities and their interest, and help them to design a plan for school, for high school. And if it points to Career Tech, we want to help lay that plan out for them. And if it points to college, we want to help lay that plan out for them. So, and we have programs that can help them if they want to go on to a two-year college or a four-year college, or if they want to go directly to work.
So the your programs and all the assessments begin middle school. So parents need to be talking with their students about this to help them make the right choices.
That's correct.
Because you don't want to leave it up to the student alone, do you?
No, sir.
Sometimes the students, they're your young people, and they need the guidance.
Yes, sir. And the state's providing us with a tool to help do this inventory process to help students develop a plan. It's an online assessment that we'll be able to help the students go through, and it's help them to build a plan for high school with their classes. And it carries over from year to year. They'll have access to it the rest of their lives. And it's a really good program. We feel like it's going to be very beneficial to our students in helping develop their high school plan.
And in the end result, better educated, better trained students ready for whether they're going on to college, whether they're going into the military, or whether they're going to work, or whatever they need to do in their lives, they'll be better prepared. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, sir.
All right. Anything else that we need to touch on that we haven't touched on?
No, sir. Just, again, want to say thank you for having us here. We appreciate the opportunity to be able to come in this morning, and just thank you for the service you provide our community, Jerry.
It's our pleasure, and because we want the parents to be prepared as well as the students on day one of school. And then, too, when it's important that parents need to have some encouragement to talk with their students on whether they're going on to career tech out of middle school or if they're going to be preparing for college or both. And is it one other question, and I'll let you go. One final thing. Is it more complicated or harder for students if they're preparing for both the work field and the college?
No,
does that detract or does it mesh?
It meshes together very nicely.
Great. So they can be better prepared in either case.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so very much. It's a pleasure to have both of you in. Teresa Thompson with school nurse, Brett Kiesler, principal at the Career and Tech Center. Thank you so very much for the opportunity to share this information with our listeners.